Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, we're locked down again. What is going on?
We're locked down. The governor is intent on taking Thanksgiving away from us. She took Easter away from us. Thanksgiving, I fully intend that she will block off Christmas, too. You know, the sadness is that she doesn't seem to care a thing about New Mexico. It appears that she's totally involved in applying for a position with the Biden administration, if there is one, and we'll talk about that later in the program. But today, the main subject is the lockdown and the effects it's having on New Mexicans. Kristen Taylor, writing in the Gateway Pundit, talked about the numbers of grocery stores that are closing in communities, and especially in the small communities, that over a dozen grocery stores are shut down. Albertsons, Walmart, Sam's Club, Target. And when there is only one grocery store left in a community, it is causing panic of lines as long as a half mile. Sometimes people waiting 3 hours to get in line, the elderly having to stand in those long lines along with everyone else, people in wheelchairs. Thankfully, the weather up till now has been pretty decent. But just imagine if there were blustery winds or even below freezing temperatures. Now then you're talking about more dislocation, more problems. But think about those grocery stores. I would suspect that any time a grocery store has probably got maybe $250,000, $300,000 worth of produce and meats and things that can't be kept. Things in cans, dried things in boxes, they'll be okay. But it's those perishables that I think where the stores are going to get nailed. Likewise, she's shutting down the restaurants. Many are just choosing not to open. I had a couple of different restaurants tell me that when they shut down before, they lost or gave away over $50,000 worth of, again, food supplies that couldn't be kept. And so just imagine all of the waste that's going on in New Mexico. Imagine those families that can't wait in the long lines, what's going to happen to them for Thanksgiving dinner. But then, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas are times when we get together. People of faith usually have just more importance on Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other holiday. And for her to shut these opportunities down for people to gather, and she says that we can only gather in five or fewer, as if the coronavirus is somehow respective of small gatherings. But that idea that we can't share with loved ones and get together our big family get-togethers, celebrating those things that we have to be thankful for in this country, it's going to really leave a gap, I think, in the people's years. People are already writing off 2020 as a lost year. And that loss is continuing on into our schools. And so we had the PED last week put out a release that they're going to hammer schools even more hard on COVID-19 cases than they have been. It's going to look very similar to the grocery stores. They got the rapid response team that once you have four positives, then you have to shut everything down for 2 weeks. It's causing tremendous difficulties. Now, there's one store over in Carlsbad, a guy that runs Rugged Trade. It's a men's clothing store, and as the name sounds, it's heavy-duty stuff. And he's in a real poignant Facebook post, talks about what it's like trying to be a small business person and succeed and survive in these days. He works his way into a very emotional minute or two when he's talking about having to lay off people and even his own family's survival. And then he comes back strong and vows that they're going to have to take his store away from his cold, dead hands. That's the position that this governor is putting people in, to where you have to choose between life and death or following her orders. And it doesn't have to be that way. They still haven't shut down Texas. The cases are rising in Texas the same as they are in New Mexico. They still haven't shut down South Dakota at all. Kids are going to school. They're playing sports. You got normal life. And yet New Mexico is one of the most restrictive states in the entire country, and our economy is suffering, people are suffering. I want you to listen to the audio of that Facebook video. I think it's just very telling what people are really experiencing who are trying to survive economically and keep jobs for a town at a time like this. So listen up to the owner of Rugged Trade in Carlsbad.
All right, guys. I hope everybody's out there listening and watching. This COVID thing has been crazy, and from day one, we've been open at Rugged Trade. And from day one, I've been out there trying to manufacture and provide masks. You know, we normally provide PPE, always provide PPE for the oil field, the heartbeat of the Pecos Valley. And, man, now the governor's coming to my store telling me I'm not essential. I provide the masks for everyday people. They're telling me I got to shut my doors. They're telling me I got to put people out of work. Serving me with a cease and desist. I've had enough. You know, maybe this is just my problem, but I don't think so. I think it's everybody's. And I am sick and tired of this. I got people that I had to let go this past week. And now they want to come shut my doors. Hardworking Americans. Hardworking people, man. We're trying to keep it alive. And they're shutting it down. They're taking our rights. I am done. I am beyond done. I am fed up with this. And I'm not going to stand for it anymore, guys. So if you have it in your hearts, if you guys can come down there, show some support, whatever it is, put some shout outs, sign a petition, stop this madness, man. They're taking our freedoms. They're taking our rights as entrepreneurs. They're taking away the freedoms that we have. They're telling us no Thanksgiving. I get it. Protect yourselves. Wear a mask. I was in Lubbock, Texas when I get this phone call. And how come Lubbock, Texas, just over the border is open? Yeah, they've got cases, but they're not shutting their economy down. They're not trying to break the people. They're trying to keep them alive because they're smarter than this. This governor is taking it too far, and it's got to stop. I don't know how much longer I can hang in there. I've done everything I can. I've done everything I can. I will not shut my doors. You can bring the state police. You can bring the health department. You can serve me with a cease and desist. I will not shut my doors. I will not do this to the general public. I will not do it to the contracts and the companies that I work for, that I give PPE to. My doors will stay open. And if that means they fine me, that means they got to take it away from me. Take it out of my dead, cold hands. I'm so tired of this. My heart goes out to every single small business that is dealing with this right now. It is unfair. It's unjust. Look, this COVID thing is a real deal, and it is hurting people. But we are prepared. I am given PPE. I've got masks. Where are you going to buy it when I shut down? We just want to go to work. We want our economy back. We want to thrive on our own. I hope everyone can stand up for it and fight through this. You cannot take the heart out of the American people. We are too damn strong. Socialism will never work. That's all I got to say, people. I hope to God you guys are out there. Fight for it. Don't back down. Show up to the doors if you can. I'm freaking two hours away. I can't even defend my own property. Sad day, people. Sad day. Y'all live rugged. I love y'all.
A heartfelt plea from a man who wants to stay open and stay safe in New Mexico. I hope you'll stay with us. Steve Pierce and I will return in just a moment with more Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, I understand you found an interesting article in the Washington Examiner. Tell us about it.
Yes, it just came out just a day or two ago, actually by a friend of mine, Larry Behrens. Didn't know that he was writing that opinion piece, but I think he's right on track. And his basic thesis is, just for people to understand how radical things could become in the U.S. in just a few short months. And if you have doubts about that, he draws the reader's attention to New Mexico and our current governor. He points out that when she took office the first year, she had a $1.4 billion surplus. She gave away hundreds of millions of dollars to Hollywood. Then she gave herself and the staff big raises. But she also sided and aligned herself with the radical environmentalist, passing her version of the Green New Deal, which basically is going to get rid of oil and gas in New Mexico. New Mexico has just fallen into a pit. Coming from a period of strong employment under Governor Martinez, we're now eighth highest in unemployment, and we rank in the top half of the most restrictive states in the entire country. And to bring attention to just how bad it is, Larry writes about that fourth grader in Roswell. We talked about him a couple of months ago, but he was having to walk 4 or 5 miles to get to school every day in order to sit outside and get access to the Wi-Fi where he could get on the internet and do his schoolwork. And that's about the shape that education is in today. You're going to have to walk 4 or 5 miles to get what you're going to get. A lot of families don't have computers, and the schools have been offering free computers. Many families haven't even bothered to go pick up the computers. The families maybe don't know how to use them or maybe don't have Wi-Fi access. And so you have this horrible situation going on in our schools. And this writer, Larry Behrens, is saying that the U.S. could transition to that same mode very quickly, because as most people in New Mexico know, that our governor has not been spending much time in the state. She actually signed on to be one of the co-chairs of the Biden transition team. You'll recall that she was evidently on the short list to become vice president under Joe Biden. When that didn't work, he wanted to give her some crumbs off the table, and so he made her this co-chair of the transition team. Well, she's got a state in disarray. Our education system is at the bottom. She's got a looming budget deficit of $1 billion or maybe more, maybe up to $2 billion by now. That's out of a $7 billion budget. And she's away auditioning for a job in Washington to where I guess she can get away from the problems of the state. But take a look at her priorities for next year in her budget. First of all, she cuts state funds to help investigate any abuses that seniors might be facing. But in the alternative, she increases funds for coal-powered cars. Now, many people call those electric cars, but it's important to distinguish that electricity doesn't come out of thin air. About half of all of our electricity is provided by coal. Another 20% comes from oil and gas. Another 20% comes from nuclear. And then just a few percent actually comes from what they call the alternative fuels of wind and solar. And so we're going to have an increase in our budget so that we can get more of those driving around the state for our state employees. But we're not going to be watching abuses to our seniors. And that's the kind of effect that it's going to have if the U.S. follows in the steps of New Mexico. And people would say, well, that's not possible. No, actually, if Biden becomes president and uses Michelle Lujan Grisham in any secretarial position, it's probably going to be HHS, Health and Human Services. And there, she's going to make the same lockdown mandates that she's been making here in New Mexico. And I believe that's one reason that she has followed such a radical path here in New Mexico, is in order to stand out from the crowd. It's as if she wants to do one better than anybody else. One of the states, the governor had radically put that there couldn't be but 6 people gathering at Thanksgiving. So she said only 5 could gather in New Mexico. So it's like she's trying to be the top of the heap of all the Democrats applying for positions. And so within a matter of days, she could implement policies that would shut down the entire U.S. to make it look like New Mexico. So when this Washington Examiner article delves into the subject, what is it going to look like here in the U.S. if Michelle Lujan Grisham, or actually anyone under Joe Biden, becomes secretary, then I believe that we're going to find ourselves in an economic chaos and disaster. The European countries that have tried this total shutdown have devastated their economies beyond repair. And now then, if Biden is actually determined to be the president and uses someone like Michelle Lujan Grisham as the HHS secretary, I think you get an idea of what's going to happen in the nation. Any cash that we have available for the government is going to be lost in real time. It's just going to be soaked up into 1,000 government programs. Right now, we're looking at economic difficulties, but under President Trump, we could work ourselves out of those. But under a Michelle Lujan Grisham as Secretary of Health and Human Services and a Joe Biden presidency and Kamala Harris as vice president, one of the main things they're going to do is shut down the oil and gas industry. That's going to be especially devastating for New Mexico. So there are indeed very, very difficult times ahead of us. Now, one of the things that we have to mention is that when PED was announcing their new program to watch which schools have any infections or not, and keep in mind that among students that the mortality of COVID-19, it doesn't cause many deaths among that age group. And so we're keeping our kids out of school. We're keeping them from learning. We're setting them back probably 2 years in their educational progress. They're going to be further behind students in the rest of the country and the rest of the world. And that's all for some sort of an idea that we can get rid of the COVID-19 completely. I don't necessarily believe that's true. I think it's going to be a long time coming, and I don't think we can stay shut down till it arrives. The European economies are showing us exactly what kind of damage can be done. So, Derek, it is an amazing time. As we close out, I want to talk about the PED announcing last week that they have 12,000 students missing. They're just not signing up for their online classes. Now, I want to know why we're in mid-November. We're almost ready for the semester to end, and just now it's becoming an issue. So the school is all worried about the kids who might test positive for COVID and how we're going to shut them down. But the public education system in New Mexico is not worried at all about the kids who haven't even been logging in. Forget the ones who are logging in and not doing anything. We're hearing that to be a bigger and bigger problem. And so the remedy that the schools seek, we're going to bring parents in and talk to them. If they don't already care about their students not attending class online, they're not going to care after some educator sits and tells them how important it is. And so the state's chaos continues, and it looks like it's going to continue for a long period of time. It's important to look at the potential effect in the U.S. if Michelle Lujan Grisham actually becomes HHS secretary under a supposed presidency of President Joe Biden.
People are also asking the question, why am I paying these taxes and bonds for schools that are closed?
That's a great point. The taxes haven't gone down a bit, and while every day New Mexicans are missing paychecks, no one that works for government, including teachers, the governor, her cabinet, none of them have ever missed one paycheck. And so the question of fairness is really beginning to percolate hard out among the citizens of this state.
I am talking with Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. We'll continue in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, on this recount and on these lawsuits, I have a lot of questions here that I think a lot of Trump supporters have. When we do a recount, like in Georgia, you have the same people that counted it the first time recounting. If they were corrupt the first time, why would we expect any difference in the recount?
Yeah, that's the reason that many have declared, and we have declared it last week on this program, to be a scam recount. Frankly, they were just checking the machines and getting new tapes out of them and then adding all the tapes together. That's not a recount. A recount is a manual recount where you actually take all the ballots and you count them one at a time with rooms full of people. A manual recount takes a very long period of time, probably a couple of weeks. That's the sort of recount that you saw going on in Wisconsin, but the one in Georgia was just a scam. And that's a Republican. So know that when we see a problem, we'll call the problem, even if it is a Republican. I think that Secretary of State is deeply compromised. Maybe was one of the never-Trumpers. I don't know. But whatever the case, Georgia has been very poorly served. And we've got that same Secretary of State going to administer these two special elections. And so I don't have any confidence at all. The U.S. Senate hangs in the balance. Right now, Republicans have 50. But if the Democrats were to win both of those, it'd be a 50-50 tie. Kamala Harris would break every vote in favor of the Democrats. And so with her being the most radical member of the Senate, which that's how rating groups found her service to be, then you can get a sense of how radical the U.S. can become through the U.S. Senate. You can imagine that Nancy Pelosi wanted that $5 trillion bailout to all the state pension funds, and she would be able to get that through with a Democrat Senate. If we hold one of those seats, then she can't get it through. But yes, your question on the recount is exactly right. It's the same people counting the same machines. All they're doing is adding up the tape totals. That's not a recount at all. That is intended to fool the people of the country. And so the Trump team is making that point over and over in the press and in the courts.
It looks to me like this will eventually be decided in the Supreme Court. And it's my understanding that you have to have evidence of wrongdoing. And I know the president's lawyer, Sidney Powell, was saying she has thousands and thousands of affidavits of people who have seen cheating going on in polling places. But the other side could say, well, you could find thousands and thousands of Trump supporters who'd sign affidavits just because they want him to win. We need hard evidence, which I believe Sidney Powell says she has. One of those we brought up last week, you mentioned it, the Veritas Project in San Antonio. They had that woman that was paid $70,000 to get 7,000 ballots for Biden. And the local TV station in San Antonio did a story on it, good for them, found that those 7,000 ballots, or quite a few of them, were registered to her business address, and the only thing checked on the ballot was for Joe Biden, no down ballot. Now, that could happen, I suppose, but the fact that all of these ballots came from her business address is hard evidence that can't be. The building's not that big. They showed it on TV.
Yeah, and you can imagine the scale. So she did 7,000. Now, if they had 10 people doing the same thing, that's 70,000. If they had 100, which is very likely, that's 7,000. And nationwide, if they had 1,000, which is extremely likely, now they got 7 million votes just by paying $100 a vote for people to go out and manufacture those. And there are people who are willing to put that kind of money into it. And so I think that we've got a lot of hard evidence. But I will tell you that around the nation, people are still looking and diving into the data of the elections themselves. There are certain things that you can find out by looking at the people who voted, looking at the patterns of the vote, looking at previous vote totals, and you can start seeing the ways that it was possible for those Dominion machines to be manipulated. Every machine in New Mexico is a Dominion machine, and so when I'm seeing people around the country say that here's how they were able to cheat with those machines, then you realize that great fraud and the potential for great fraud did exist. So I'm still among the group that's saying that we have seen one of the biggest heists in world history, and that is the stealing of the presidency. I absolutely believe that President Trump won re-election on Election Day, but it's when those machines were shut down. That's what the Dominion software requires, is we shut the machines down, we see where the votes are, and then we begin to apply the corrective measures to shift the vote. So these machines have been used in Venezuela and Cuba in order to fabricate results there. It's very easy for them to have done the same thing here. It's important to note that New Mexicans and people around the nation began to hear New Mexico mentioned a lot last week. The Giuliani team, Rudy Giuliani's one of the personal lawyers for President Trump, former mayor of New York City, and his team contacted the Republican Party of New Mexico last week. They had an interest in our lawsuit that we brought against the Supreme Court of New Mexico. That's the lawsuit that they just refused to hear. Very political decision on the part of the Supreme Court here in this state. But the Giuliani team is saying that would be one of the more preferred ones to carry into the U.S. Supreme Court, because we did file it in a very timely fashion. If they had listened to us, we would have been able to put our poll challengers back in during the most important part of the absentee ballot process. That's another point where great misdeeds can happen. The certification of the absentee ballots is where they check to see that they're legally submitted, a signature in the last four digits of the Social Security number, and that's where several counties kicked us out, and the Secretary of State affirmed that she was going to back them up in kicking us out to where our challengers could not watch. Well, now then, you can just approve anything, and if those ballots are mixed in with the rest of the ballots, then basically you have invalidated the whole pile of ballots. So they're interested in that particular lawsuit. That was on Monday of last week, but then later, about Wednesday, then Sidney Powell's team contacted us, and they're interested in what kind of data dives that we've been doing. They have more qualified people who are looking at it nationwide, but they're interested in that aspect to where they can see what counties had mischief and which counties seem to operate correctly. This will help establish a pattern nationwide for the misdeeds that have been carried on by the Democrats and their voting machine company, Dominion, because it is owned by Democrats, and the main architects of it are Democrats, one being a former chief of staff of Nancy Pelosi, and another one being a key employee for Senator Feinstein. And so the connections to the Democrat Party are well established. Like you said at the beginning of this segment, it's important for them to be able to provide the evidence in order for the courts to hear something. I do not think the courts are going to hear a scattered 3,000 ballots here, 1,500 there, 7,000 here. I think it's got to be more systemic. I think it has to be much bigger. The question of kicking people out during the certification process, that's huge. That would be a systemic thing. But then the data itself, if we can show where the votes are shifted from President Trump to Vice President Biden, then we would get an understanding of how this fraud existed and how this heist has occurred. But stay tuned, because it's a long way from over. You'll recall that in 2000 that Al Gore perceived to be president for 37 days when the Supreme Court finally announced, no, that they were going to declare that President Bush was the winner. And so that was 37 days. We're just now at 19 days. So stay tuned and keep your seatbelts fastened, because I think there's a lot of activity ahead of us.
Well, Steve, I'd like to invite our listeners to get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico. There are several ways to do that. You can start at www.gopnm.org. There's a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. You can always contact Republican Party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662.
Again, great program today, Derek, and just invite your listeners to stay tuned. Call the radio stations and tell them thanks for running the programs, and we will talk to you next week on Inside New Mexico.